Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C, so markguberti.com/book. And now, let's dive right into the show. For episode 77 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about getting millions of downloads for our podcast episodes with our guest, Dave Jackson. Dave Jackson is the founder of the School of Podcasting. His podcast about podcasting has over 1.4 million downloads, and that stat is back from 2014, so it's grown a lot since then. And from back then to today, he has helped hundreds of people launch their own podcasts. Dave was the director of podcasting for the New Media Expo, which is one of the top events in the industry. And I don't know about you, Breakthrough Success listeners, but I want to learn about getting millions of downloads for our podcast episodes. So right now, it is my pleasure to welcome Dave to the show.
Wow, that's hard to follow up. Thank you so much for having me.
Dave, it's a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast, and I really want to get into that, as we mentioned before. But before we do, I love to do some background. So why did you start podcasting? Can you talk a little bit about that and your journey through podcasting?
It's kind of funny because I started podcasting doing the exact same thing I tell people not to do, which was I needed money quickly. I always tell people, if you want to get into podcasting, that's fine, but you're not going to make money for a little bit because you have to build your audience. And I was going back to school, and the first time I went to college, I was a waiter, and I liked it because I had very flexible hours. And I thought, well, at the time, this is back in 2005, everybody was saying membership sites are going to be huge, and then podcasting came out, and I'm like, what if I put those two things together? So I created the School of Podcasting, which is a membership site about podcasting. But true to every fashion, it's hard to, because number one, nobody knew what a podcast was. I didn't have a built-in audience yet. I was just Dave Jackson, some guy. So that's why I started it. But the big reason I got hooked is, for me, my background's in education. So I've been teaching people in the kind of corporate world for like 20 years at that point. And so it allowed me to help people. It was kind of geeky because I got to build websites and things like that. And then you could be as creative as you wanted to. So those three things is really what got me hooked into it. And then the first piece of feedback that I got was a piece of audio feedback from a guy named Michael Van Laar from Nuremberg, Germany. And when I realized that somebody on the other side of the planet was listening to my show and they liked it, I was like, oh, that's it. I'm in for life.
Dave, thank you for sharing with us that story of why you started podcasting. And there are several listeners who don't have their own podcast and they're thinking about launching their own podcast, or they're at least dabbling with the idea. And for those people, how do you recommend launching your podcast so that it has a strong start?
Well, number one, I always say, you know, as we record this, it's kind of Christmas time-ish, and or if it's somebody's birthday, let's say I'm at work and they do the Secret Santa thing, which I always hated, and I end up getting Harold from accounting. And I'm like, well, I work in the training department. I don't know who Harold is. I'd have to go ask somebody in accounting, like, what is Harold like? And they're like, oh, well, he's really into video games. And I'm like, all right, maybe I need to buy him a gift card to, I don't know, whatever that one place is that I can't remember, the one game place, you know what I mean, GameStop. And so Howard opens up his gift. He's like, oh, wow, I love this. I love GameStop. It's one of my favorite things. Well, I had to figure out who my audience was, Howard, had to figure out what he wanted and then give it to him. And so many people, you know, there are Facebook groups, there's meetup.com. There's all sorts of ways that you can research to figure out, you know, who your audience is. You have to determine that kind of yourself, but then you have to figure out what they want. And when you do, they're going to be like, oh, wow, that was a really good episode. Where can I get more of this stuff? So really, that's the first thing, is you have to figure out who your audience is. You have to figure out what they want. And the other thing you have to figure out is, why are you getting into podcasting? Because I've had people that have spent literally thousands of dollars on equipment. And I'm like, great, what's your podcast going to be about? And they're like, I don't know, I haven't figured that out yet. And I'm like, ooh, you kind of have the cart in front of the horse there. And so those are probably the big three, you know, figure out who your audience is, figure out what they want, and then figure out why you're getting into podcasting. Because let's say you're getting into, maybe you're an entrepreneur and you want to kind of position yourself as an expert. Okay, well, then it might make more sense for you to do solo shows to kind of show off your expertise than do a bunch of interview shows. That's kind of the other reason why you need to know, you know, why am I getting into podcasting? So, but that would be it. And then start. That's the other thing. I have so many people that kind of plan to think about maybe brainstorming, you know, throw in any other thing here. You can't improve what you don't launch. And I hear these people that want to record 25 episodes before they even release one episode. And I'm like, well, what if you find out on episode 3 that your audience hates this segment that you're doing? You now have 22 episodes of something that your audience hates. So, you know, you can't improve what you don't launch. So in the end, just start throwing it out there.
Dave, thank you for sharing with us how we can launch our podcast and have a really strong start and getting all that background information before you even record that first episode and knowing what work you should be doing and to make sure you're not doing too much work right away to make sure you're not stumbling into a mistake when you launch. But for the people who do have their own podcast and they're looking to grow, I mean, you getting over 1.4 million downloads, that is a really impressive accomplishment. Many podcasters would have a really big dream of hitting millions of downloads. So how can you talk about how you went from zero downloads to reaching over a million? Was it key habits or promotional tactics or strategies? So what got you to this big milestone?
It sounds weird and kind of cliche, but you build your audience one listener at a time. And I trust me, I would love to have a big giant golden switch that I could just flip it and here's 10,000 downloads, but you really do. So when I first started off, I always hate to hear people say, oh, I only have 80 downloads. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. In the world of Hulu, Netflix, AM, FM, satellite radio, DVDs, video games, you know, you have 80 people who chose to listen to you. And again, my background's in teaching. So 80 people would be four classrooms of people who have chosen to listen to you. Because if they don't want to listen to you, they can unsubscribe at any time. And what you can do is when you're small and somebody emails you, be sure to email them back and then ask, you know, what was your favorite part of that episode? If they say something about it or what didn't you like, or just stoke the fire, because those are going to be the people that are basically your sales force that are going to be out there telling people, oh man, you got to listen to this podcast. And the guy's really cool. I actually emailed him and he or she emailed me back. So that's part of it. Then the other thing you can do is, again, you kind of figured out who your audience is. Now you got to figure out where they are. And if you can go there, so if there's any kind of event that is held for, you know, let's say you're into horses, well, there's probably going to be some sort of horse event somewhere across the country. See if you can go there. You can go out and contact the people that run that event and say, hey, I'd like to be your official podcast for your event. And I'd like to interview all the speakers and things like that. That's a great way then to network with everybody in your industry. And it's weird because part of you is going to go, yeah, but why would they do that? I'm just me. No, you have a podcast. And just by having a podcast, you're already seen as an expert because everybody else isn't doing it. So you are. You're the person that jumped into the pool. And the other thing is, it's different than radio. In radio, we always hear about these DJs that they go out and, you know, I'm going to crush the competition and things like that. And this sounds really weird, but there is no competition in podcasting. And people are like, well, wait a minute. Yes, there is. No, there isn't. I do a show called the Podcasters Roundtable, and Ray Ortega, who does the Podcaster Studio, is the host of that. But I'm a co-host, as is a friend of mine, Daniel J. Lewis, who does the Audacity to Podcast. So those are two podcasts that are technically my competition, but they're also, at this point, by reaching out to them, networking with them, they're now two of my closest friends. And you can listen to me on Monday, you can listen to Ray on Tuesday, and you can listen to Daniel on Wednesday, because it's not radio. We're not all on at 7:30 in the morning on Monday. You can listen to us whenever you want. So by appearing on other similar podcasts, because what you want is you want to get your information in front of people who are your target audience that listen to podcasts. Well, an easy way to do that is to network with other podcasters, and not so much like, hey, I'll come on your show if you come on mine, but just let it organically happen and, you know, network with those people, comment on their shows and things like that, build that relationship. And that's a great way. I've had probably, I would say at least once a week, somebody will contact me and they'll say, oh, I heard you on the Podcasters Roundtable. You seem to know your stuff. So I came over and checked out your website. So figure out where your audience is, go where they are, make friends with them. a really easy mistake is, let's say you find a Facebook group and it's just geared towards your target audience. Do not go into that Facebook group and go, "Hey, I'm Dave Jackson. Everybody should listen to my podcast," because they're going to go, "Who is this guy? Can we get that person banned?" You want to go in, listen again. This is a great place to find great ideas for future episodes, but go in and add value to every conversation that you're doing. And then you can say things like, "Oh yeah, I talked about that on episode 17 of my podcast." And somebody's going to go, "You have a podcast?" And that's when you open up the door.
Dave, thank you for sharing those great insights on how we can go from zero downloads to millions of downloads. And you mentioned something really important, which is it doesn't matter how many people you're getting. If you're getting listeners, these are people who, if you spend the time to reply to their emails, you can get them to spread the word about your podcast. But in order to have that happen, you have to attract these people initially. So how do we make sure we are attracting the right listeners to our podcasts?
Well, again, it kind of goes back to knowing who your audience is and then going where they are and then listening to that. And then you can do things like, I'm sure if you just Googled, like, let's say I was doing a show on NASCAR, I could probably put into Google NASCAR top blogs or something of that nature, find the top bloggers, and then start again, not so much going out to them. Well, number one, you could ask them to come on your show. That would be one thing. But you could also leave comments on their blogs and things like that. Just keep your face in front of them so that eventually they're going to look up and see you there. That's a great way to get your message in front of the right people. Make sure they're listening. And then in some cases, if you can see maybe they had a blog post about something and you did a similar episode, you could say, "Hey, I see you did a blog post about this. I did one similarly," or maybe you're going to do one similarly. "Would you like to come on my show and do that?" And just start building that relationship with the top people. And it's amazing, again, that so many people think, well, they wouldn't talk to me, but they will. I have a client of mine, Alan Lees, does the School of Banking. And I remember I contacted him, like, "Hey, Alan, I just want to see how things are going." And he's like, "Oh, what's up, Dave?" And I'm like, "Yeah, how are your download numbers?" And he's like, "Oh, I have no idea." And I'm like, "Okay, well, how's your audience feedback? How's that going?" He goes, I don't know. And I'm like, "Why are you into podcasting again?" So we go back to, knowing your why. And he goes, "Oh, this is great." He goes, "I have people who wouldn't give me the time of day, but all I have to do is say, 'Would you like to come on my podcast?'" And he goes, "And I'm getting to interview these people and I'm getting to build those relationships." So, sometimes just asking, you'd be surprised how many people will go, "Oh yeah, I'd love to come on your show."
Dave, thank you for sharing with us how we can attract the right listeners to our episodes. And when new listeners come on board and they start listening to our episodes, they're usually listening to some of the newer episodes that we've created. And as we upload more episodes, like we hit the 100th episode, 200, 300, some people 1,000, some of those old episodes, you have to do a lot of scrolling just to get to them. So while the new content is going to do really well if the podcast has a large subscriber base, how can we continue to get downloads for past episodes?
One of the things you can do is you can make sure a lot of different devices, not so much the devices, but systems like PowerPress, or if you're using Libsyn or Blueberry, or, there are different media hosts, things like that. You want to go in and see how many actual episodes are in your feed so that when somebody subscribes to your show, that's where it's really easy to find your show. So for me, I think I have mine now set to 300. So when you subscribe to the School of Podcasting, now I have almost 600. I'll have 600 next year is where I'm going to go over that little hurdle. But that just makes it easy. I also, if I can, when I do links, if I'm talking about a subject, I'm going to say, "If you like this, we also talked about this," and I'll put that into my show notes. So I'll link to other past episodes and things like that. And in some cases, I don't want them to find my past episodes because, I was still, getting my feet wet or it wasn't that good. I had two episodes that I removed just because they were literally 12 years ago. And the people that I was interviewing, it was a company, they don't exist anymore. So that particular episode had zero value to my customer or my listener. So I took it offline. So, but that's part of it. And you'll be surprised. I'm going to say at this point, I'm going to be releasing episode 596 here on Monday. And a good 30% of my downloads for the month comes from my back catalog. So via good show notes, that's another one. I try to write at least 300 words about my episode because Google can't really search an audio file So I always have decent show notes for to attract Google, because that always helps. And, you know, that, linking to them, things like that. And then again, if you have if you're having a conversation with somebody in a Facebook group or some sort of forum or something like that, and you could say, oh, yeah, I talked about, you know, the best microphone for under $100 here. And then you put a link to that. That's another way just to get driving traffic to it.
Dave, thank you for sharing with us how we can get more downloads for past episodes, because we don't want our old content to and old episodes to not be getting as much downloads, because we work so hard at one time to produce those episodes, and promoting also takes a lot of time. And with that in mind, I'm wondering, how can we save tons of time when we are promoting our episodes?
Well, and I don't want to turn this into a Libsyn commercial. I work for Libsyn. I was a customer of theirs for 10 years, and that's another thing. I got that job because of my podcast. But if you're using Libsyn, they have a lot of automated. Libsyn stands for Liberated Syndication. And so when I publish an episode, it automatically goes to Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Twitter, if I didn't say that one yet. So there are ways that you can automate all this stuff. That's one. And then, you know, you can set up – there are great Twitter tools. I use Tweet Jukebox, so I'll have it go out maybe once or twice a week to because not everybody's going to see that first tweet. So they're just tools like that. And then in terms of promotion, the thing I try to do, in fact, this weekend I'm going out to Seattle to PodCon. I try to get in front of my target audience whenever possible. And I realize, you know, some people, we have our day jobs and you can't just go flying all over the country. But whenever I can, I will get in front of my target audience. And the thing I'm really excited about PodCon is when I looked at all the speakers, I didn't know all, but I knew two of them. The rest I've never heard of, which is great, because as much as I love going to these things and it's like summer camp where I see all these people I've already known, I really want to get in front of people that I have no idea who they are, because if I have no idea who they are, they have no idea who I am. So I'm trying to find people who don't know who I am so I can start introducing them to my content and building that relationship.
Dave, thank you for sharing with us how we can save time with promotion. I'm also I really like Libsyn a lot. I don't want to turn this into an ad either, but I do use them for the Breakthrough Success podcast in order to easily deliver episodes on a bunch of different places. And one of the things that people have a challenge with is, I feel like in any area, podcasting and beyond, the challenge we have is reaching our full potential. And with that theme in mind, what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their potential?
That is a good question. Probably the biggest thing, I think, is a friend of mine, Randy Cantrell, does a show called Grow Great. It's at growgreat.com. He calls it head trash. It's just that inner voice in your head that says, oh, I don't know anything about audio. I don't know anything about building websites. And I always say, look, if you've ever been in the car and the radio, you had your jam on and the phone rings, what do? You turn down the volume and you answer the phone. I'm like, ah, you know how to mix audio then. And if you ever look at Microsoft Word and look at WordPress, they're very, very similar. You know, we've all pressed record back in the day on a VCR, so we know how to press record in Audacity. You actually have the skills to do it. But for some reason, we like to think that we can't, or nobody would listen to me. So I think a lot of that is, we call that imposter syndrome. You know, you just think, ah, who would listen to me? And the answer is a lot of people would listen to you. You just don't know it until you start your podcast. So that, I think that's probably one of the biggest ones. It's not really money. I mean, you can spend thousands of dollars on a bunch of equipment, but I always say you can start a podcast for about the price of an Xbox.
I really love that phrase, being able to start one on the price of an Xbox. That, I mean, it's not really super expensive to start a podcast, and the amount of connections you can make is truly incredible. And I mean, I know you've made a lot of awesome connections throughout your podcasting journey, but I know that throughout any journey, there are challenges that we all have to face. And I'm wondering, what is one big challenge that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
Probably once you start a podcast, it's kind of like if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So once you start a podcast, everything in your life, you go, ooh, that would be a good podcast. So when I first started, I ended up having like 5 or 6 podcasts going at the same time. That is a horrible idea, because we just mentioned that it's really not enough just to make the podcast. You have to go out and promote it. And the last time I checked, there's only 24 hours in a day. And so when you start another podcast and another podcast and another podcast, it just, you don't have any time to promote it. You end up with not making really great content because, well, you've only got so much time to research or whatever you're doing and things like that. So, and I see it happen all the time. Somebody will start their first podcast and they're like, oh, I want to start another one. I'm like, wait, let's get the first one off the ground. We haven't even got that one off the ground yet. So that's probably that. And then we all love gear. I think it's just built into every podcaster. And my favorite line comes from Dan Klass. He does a show called The Bitterest Pill. And he's a former stand-up comedian. And he said, you know, when you go to a comedy club and they have the warm guy and he's pretty funny, and then they have another guy and he's pretty funny, and they have the headliner and maybe that guy's really funny. He goes, you do realize they all use the same mic. And the point of that is it's not the tech. So if I'm using an Audio Technica 2100 microphone and it was, you know, $80, and I want to upgrade to an Electro Voice RE320, and that's a $300 microphone, that's not going to get you three times the audience. Usually upgrading your gear will only kind of really boost your audience or at least not drive them away is when your audio is just horrendous. But I see more and more people like, hey, it's Christmas time, I'm going to get more gear. And I'm like, hey, you know, it's your money. You can get whatever you want. But in the end, it's not the gear that people tune into. It's the content.
I really love that idea that it's the content that people tune in for, not the gear. We get so focused on things like having things perfect with the production, but in the end, it's all about the content that you are providing. And you pointed out something really, really interesting that I see in a lot of people. You said that when you start your first podcast, then all of a sudden you have five or six. And I feel like with content creators, you create the first piece of content, and then all of a sudden you want to create more content. You want to have more blogs, more podcasts, more channels. And I feel like people will have no problem with the creation side, but the marketing will be an issue. They're hoping that they keep creating, the marketing will take care of itself. So how were you able to strike that balance so that you are able to create the episodes, but able to market them at the same time and reach that massive audience?
It's a matter of when you start a podcast, you have to figure out, okay, what, there was something in your life that you used to do that you're not going to do anymore. Unless you have a lot of margin in your life, you're probably going to give something up. So for me, I live in Cleveland, Ohio, and most of our sports teams are pretty horrendous. So I don't watch football anymore. Our team right now is, I think, 1-24. We haven't won since last Christmas. So I don't watch TV anymore. And that gives me football anymore. And that gives me 4 or 5 hours a week to do a podcast. And some things that I used to do, I just gave up. And then the other thing you have to do is you have to be able to say no, because what will happen is, especially if you have, you know, a spouse or kids or things like that, you have to learn to say no. And otherwise you will end up just pushing podcasting so far into your life that you start to push your family out. And that is something where you really have to be careful with that. And so what I did was, I'm a big fan of the software Evernote. And if I was working someplace, when I was on my lunch, I was taking notes in Evernote, and I was scheduling things. I had a set schedule to where I would do interviews on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and a little bit on Saturday if I was doing interviews. And the rest of the time, it was family time. And so what it was is, when it came time to do my podcast, I had all my notes set up. I knew exactly what I was going to record. I had organized my podcast into well-organized folders on my computer. So as things were coming in, I was putting them into folders. And when it came time to record, I turned off Facebook, I turned off Twitter, I turned off my email, turned off YouTube, and I recorded. I gave it my undivided attention so that when it came time to record, I could blow through that. And that way I didn't have to spend a lot of time on editing. I was focused. And that was probably one of the biggest things I do. And I occasionally, it's funny, I will occasionally turn the TV on my second monitor on my computer, and it's amazing to just watch my productivity just go down the tubes, because you think you can multitask, but in reality, you really can't. So that's it for me. I think it's just focus.
Dave, thank you for sharing how we can do the creation part, but also be able to address that marketing by making certain sacrifices within our schedule and also having time for our families, because if your business is taking all of your time away from your family, then, I mean, you're missing out on a really important area of life. I mean, I obviously don't have kids or anything like that, but I understand to a degree. So very commendable that you're growing your podcast, but family comes first.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that a podcast is going to, you know, we all want our 10,000 downloads now, but it's one of those things where literally you'll start off and then they'll tell two friends and they'll tell two friends. And so it's growing about 3 or 4%. If you look at the graphs from Edison Research, you know, we're up now to almost, I want to say 40% of Americans are now have at least listened to a podcast. But yeah, every year that goes up about 3 or 4%. So, you know, when you first start off, you can do things to make it grow faster than that. But I usually tell people, I've just started watching a trend that people that are really starting to knock it out of the park, that are doing great in a consulting business. I have another person that just started doing six figures, selling courses and doing speaking and a couple other things. And all those people are just about at 3 years in. And that's where most people are like, ooh, I was looking to do this in about 6 months. And I'm like, you know, think about your best friend that you've had for however many years. That's your ultimate best friend. They know you inside and out. When you're together, it's just like you never left each other. That person usually isn't somebody who you've known for 6 months. It's somebody you've known for years. So it takes a little while to get people to know, like, and trust you. And then that's your sales force. They start telling their friends about it. And then over a period of time, and you know, there are things you can do to make that go a little faster. But I've just started noticing that people that are really crushing it, it's usually about 3 years in. And that doesn't mean that, you know, they didn't do anything and then 3 years everything popped, but they, you know, made a little bit of money here with affiliate, or they did this, or they got a job or whatever it was. But all of a sudden at 3 years, it seems like everything starts to come together.
Dave, thank you for sharing with us more details about the whole journey of going from someone who's just creating their own podcast or just starting their own business to building up while keeping family first. And one of the questions that I enjoy asking guests is, as a bookworm, I love reading as many books as possible. So I was wondering if you could share with us three great books that would help us grow our businesses.
Probably my favorite one is Platform by Michael Hyatt. It's a book. I actually read it every year. One of the first things I do in January is I open up. I actually have the audiobook. I have the Kindle book. I never bought the physical book, but it just talks about making, he calls it wow content. It's just phenomenal. And it just, it's kind of like a football coach saying, hey, we got to go back and learn, you know, tackling or something like that. It's called Platform, Get Noticed in a Noisy World. Another one that I love is Secrets of Dynamic Communications. This is by Ken, I forget his name. I need to click, I'm cheating behind the scenes here. I'm going out to Amazon. Ken Davis. And what I love about this, it's actually designed for people that do public speaking, but it applies to podcasting and content creators, because he says, let's say I'm going to do a segment on my show, I should be able to boil that segment down to one single sentence. And then everything I'm doing in that blog post or podcast should reinforce that one sentence. And that should be something that, you know, you can kind of boil it down. And again, it goes back to being focused. The other book I would probably, well, it's hard to pick three because I do listen a lot. I know. Jared Easley has a book and it's called, I believe it's Good to Great, How to Grow Your Audience Through Collaboration. And this is a great book. This is the guy that runs Podcast Movement, and it shows you how we think we have to go rent a plane and write letters in the sky to do something huge to really get attention. And a lot of times it's just the little things that nobody else does. One of my backgrounds is I was a customer service person, and I would go around and train people how to use their office equipment. And when I got done, I'd be like, hey, when's a good time for me to do like a follow-up? And they'd be like, I don't know, call me back in like 6 weeks. And I'd be like, okay. Morning or afternoon? And they're like, I guess morning. And I'm like, so like 10:30, that'd be cool. And you're like, yeah, 10:30, 6 weeks, that's fine. And I would call them back in 6 weeks at 10:30 a.m. And people would be amazed that I was doing it. And I'm like, well, I'm just doing what I said I was going to do. I called you back in 6 weeks at 10:30, but I was amazed. That was considered like, wow, customer service. So sometimes it's not really these big, huge things you have to do. If I could just get this guest or if I could just get that, it's just doing the little things to the people who are already listening to your show, already reading your blog, getting them involved that will just make things start to explode.
Dave, thank you for sharing those three great book recommendations. And before I let Breakthrough Success listeners know where they can find you on the web, I've asked you a bunch of questions throughout this episode, thousands of questions total, and I can only imagine how many questions you've asked people on your journey. And with that in mind, I'm wondering, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
What am I doing to constantly improve? It's my educator part of my brain. I'm always open to suggestions. I'm always looking for ways to, you know, do things better, faster. And sometimes better means, how do I slow down? You know, when I slow down, how can I really slow down? When I speed up, how can I really speed up? And just be open to suggestions. I think sometimes we start doing things and we spend a lot of money and we spend a lot of time in training and this is the way to do it. And that might work for years, but boy, if there's one thing that always stays the same, and that is the fact that things always change. So you have to be open to constant improvement. So that's something that it's a mantra of mine. Just always be open for suggestions, because when we get closed-minded, especially if you're dealing with anything with technology, and since we're all kind of dealing with the internet, that is technology. The minute you close down, you're just going to start going backwards.
Dave, thank you for sharing that one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often, and for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. And for listeners who want to learn more, where can we find you on the web?
My main website is just schoolofpodcasting.com. That's where you can find all my courses and my 500 plus episodes of free content. It's all there at schoolofpodcasting.com.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, you can find those links and the show notes at markgaberry.com/E77. Dave, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Oh, Mark, thanks for having me, buddy.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberry.com/iTunes or markgaberry.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today. Want your tweets to get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success podcast and include the link markgaberry.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me mark@markgaberry.com and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers. This podcast is a production done by Mark Gaberty. For more insights, head on over to markgaberty.com.